The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, I'm Mike Trummel from Lane, Illinois, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is Rick Fries from Des Moines, Iowa, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
I'm Karen from Arizona, and I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 542 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on this show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Michael.
How are you?
I am careening towards the end of the semester, and I've had enough. I'm up to my armpits in grading. Grading and training runs. Yes.
Can you grade while you train, or can you trade while you grain?
I cannot do those things. Okay. I'm not a good multitasker,
right?
Well, you could be on a bike. You could be on a stationary bike and grade while you're on the bike, or grade while you're on a treadmill. No?
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay.
Get busy with that.
Yeah. Also, I have a shout out for you, fellows. And it is to our, it's kind of a twofer. Wanda Byram, who did the San Antonio half marathon, did a great job. I also read that Meb was there and got some sort of a lifetime achievement award. But so Wanda, great job. She's a Mickey Miler. And the other one is, Mike, you're going to find this really interesting. I think for years now we've been pronouncing his name wrong, and I have to give him a shout out. Because his name is Matthew Milhauser.
Right.
And not Milhauser, as right. I think I've been saying. So, Matthew Milhauser.
Yeah.
Here's a shout out to you. I know what it's like when somebody mispronounces your name.
Yeah, he's a real punny guy. He's a real punny guy.
Uh-huh. He is very punny.
Very punny. Yes. Speaking of punny, hi, Chris Eliopoulos.
What does that mean? How am I punny?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Hi, Punny.
Well, now I have no, like, I wanted to come, like, with a good song to kind of wrap into it, but oh well. My song today, Stacey's Mom by Fountains of Wayne, is one of my songs on my playlist. I don't know if you heard that one, but God
that's
knows for a couple years it was on every
that's
commercial.
That's an oldie, yeah.
Yeah. But, and a goodie, so.
An oldie but goodie. Well, yeah, it's bracketology time again.
Man, people can must I, like the I... brackets.
Yeah, can I just tell you something?
Tell us something.
I'm going to tell you guys something. Our good friend Liz, her good friend Chris has a new podcast on Slate.com. It's called The Hit Parade, and I had lunch with him, and he just started his podcast, and I was telling him about these bracketology shows, and he made me laugh because he said, "Bracketology is like catnip for podcast listeners." So I thought that was really funny. Wow. I guess because a lot of people said to me, I like the bracketology shows. So I think it's because you can play along at home, right?
So are you saying we're pandering to our audience?
Yeah.
I think we are. And good for us.
Hey. It's about time we sold out. Took this long.
Yeah. Anyway, just thought I'd
share. So speaking of which, so what kind of brackets are we doing today, Michael?
I don't know. Why don't you tell us, Chris?
Well, okay.
Since it was your idea.
I know. These are always my ideas. So, So as we were recording this the past week or so, Coco came out, and in front of it was they call it a short, but it was really a long. it was a Frozen short, Olaf something or other, and a lot of people were complaining because they were coming there to see Coco, and it was a really long 20-minute thing. My belief is that it was probably supposed to be a Christmas show or something they were going to air on TV. And then, for some reason, decided to throw it in front of Coco. Don't know why, but so needless to say, so we were thinking about the Pixar movies and the Pixar shorts. So I felt maybe we could do a listing of the Pixar shorts, but these are the originals. We're not going to do like the Cars and the Monsters, Inc. ones that are just sort of taking off on the movies. We're going to take the ones that they originally did. These particularly originally, they were done as sort of test beds to see the technology and how they could do stuff. So, Michelle, like, did you know that that's why they were there originally?
No, what I wanted to say is my son Liam recently got a job at a movie theater, and he told me that people were coming out of Coco and complaining because I haven't seen it. But I guess it's not just the Frozen one, but it's also there's that Coco has its own little short too. So these poor 3-year-olds who are being taken to this movie are there for, it sounds like, 3 hours. So yeah. Anyway, I just think it was interesting that people are complaining to the movie workers about the Pixar short, which I don't think, you know, as we discuss these, that you would ever have heard that with any of these that we're going to talk about.
Yeah. The early ones, though, were sort of more of test beds, trying to test out the technology, trying to see what worked, if they were having some issues they wanted to work on, like, say, hair or the way water goes or something like that. They would use these shorts to kind of develop that technology. So the early ones tended to be a little bit more clunky and sort of just working out the technology. And as you go on, the stories kind of come into play. But I think we sort of have to kind of make a little bit of a, I don't know, give or take for the early technology stuff. So, but yeah, not water, water, water. God, Michelle is texting me and she's been really obnoxious. Poor Michael.
Mike says water. So.
Water. So we have to kind of give those early ones a little bit of a little leg up, just because, you know, the first one is not going to compete with the latest one in terms of, you know, length and what's involved in making them. So, but so once again, I went through all of these titles. I will list through them. I did a random bracket generator. So the shows that we are dealing with right now. Hold on, as I pull them up.
As you're doing that, I want to say that you can watch all of these on YouTube, and it's really, really interesting. And Chris sent us a list of chronologically all these different movies, and to go from the very first one to the latest ones, you can really see how Pixar has developed both the technologies, but also the storytelling.
Yeah,
and they really were shorts at the beginning, weren't they? They were like 2 minutes.
Yeah, if that, something like that. So, right at the beginning, and actually some of them, the early ones, they were still at Lucasfilm and Industrial Light and Magic. So, like, that was before they even kind of pulled off into their own company and Steve Jobs bought them. But so in order of the way they came out, the titles are this. The Adventures of Andre and Wally B., Luxo Jr., Red's Dream, Tin Toy, Knick Knack, Jerry's Game, For the Birds, Boundin', One Man Band, Lifted, Presto, Partly Cloudy, Day and Night, La Luna, The Blue Umbrella, Lava, Sanjay's Super Team, Piper, and Lou. And since none of us have seen Coco yet, we have not done Smash and Grab their short. So, so needless to say, let's get started. So I did a random generator. Are you ready to go?
Let's do it.
Okay, so our first pairing is Luxo Jr. and Presto. So Luxo Jr. is the original, well, not the original, but the one that generated their logo. It's the one of a Luxo lamp and its little child. And Presto is the story about a magician's rabbit and kind of does this magic trick with the hat, and it kind of goes back and forth, and it kind of works with time and space and all that kind of fun stuff. So, so Michelle, I'll toss it over to you and see what you think.
That's difficult. I rewatch Luxo Jr. for this show, and it's just so iconic. You know, it's what you see at the beginning, as you said, of every Pixar film. But I have to say that I was a very early adopter of iTunes and at the iTunes store, and one of the first things that I ever paid for was the short Presto. I just thought that was amazing. So for me, it's going to be Presto. I just thought the magician and the rabbit and the it was just very, very clever. So I'm going to go for that one.
Interesting. Michael?
I think one of the biggest challenges of an animator is to bring emotion or characterization to an inanimate object. And I think they did a really good job with Luxo Jr. And I think that that particular that particular challenge and that achievement earns that particular short my vote.
Yeah, I'm sort of on the wavelength. Presto is a lot of fun. I mean, it's so bizarre in terms of like the way they can, you know, the magician reaches into the hat and the rabbit's like across the room and it plays off with each other. But I think Luxo Jr. was sort of the thing that made everybody go, oh, my God, you can make inanimate objects look alive in a computer generated format. And I think that is what led people to start realizing that there was something really to this thing. So I just for the legacy alone and the fact that it's now part of their logo, I'm going to give the go-ahead to Luxo Jr. So sorry, Michelle.
Fair enough. Good arguments. Good arguments.
You're not there. But okay.
But you're wrong.
Oh, always are. So, Mike, here's our next pairing. La Luna, which is the story of a father-son and the grandfather who go out at night and collect stars. And that will be going against Red's Dream, which is the one that came out right after Luxo, which is about a little unicycle and his dream of being, you know, a famous juggler in a circus. And the reality is he's 50% off in a bicycle store. So what say you, sir? What do you think of these two?
Oh, boy. This one's a little tough. The first one, what's the first one's name
again? La Luna.
La Luna.
La Luna, the moon.
I've seen that several times, and I like it when there is a story that's associated with something that we see all the time or whatever, like a little story you could, like when you hear, well, Rip Van Winkle is bowling and that's what the thunder is all about and everything. So I kind of like La Luna a little bit more than the other one. So I'm going to go with La Luna.
Okay.
Rip Van Winkle is bowling. Okay. I don't know. I've never heard that one. Okay.
So it goes off to me, I think, because we're going to go round robin. Red's Dream is sort of like that forgotten noir Pixar short. It was, you know, the clown, like they still haven't perfected that technology at that point. The clown's face was kind of clunky and it looked sort of like
scary.
A little
Pennywise.
Yeah. But it's sort of like
Dollar Foolish. You
could see like it looked like a crumpled bag with like white paint on it. It was just kind of creepy. They were much better at doing objects and making those look somewhat realistic. And even at that point, they were still, everything was sort of like had a shiny gloss to it. And there wasn't much of a story to that one. Like, you know, like you're saying, La Luna's got, you know, a story to it and you know, it's got emotion. I think I'm going to agree with you. I think La Luna is the call on that one. So sorry, Michelle, you're going to have to make a choice, but it really doesn't matter at this point.
So, you know, it's interesting because in some ways, if we're looking at just strictly speaking the technology, some of these are going to be hands down winners, right? You can't even compare the Red's Dream. So I think for that reason, it comes down to what the story is. And in La Luna, which you can see at Walt Disney World at the film shorts that they show at Journey to the Imagination Pavilion, it was actually shown before Brave, and I just think it's wonderful. It's the son, the grandson, the grandfather, and sweeping up the stars. It's fantastic. It's clever. I think the story is wonderful. So it's 3-3.
Okay. All right. So the next one up. It's an interesting one. The first one is Boundin', which is about a sheep who likes to dance, and then he gets pulled out and gets sheared and then is embarrassed by it, and a jackalope comes along and teaches him just to keep bounding along, and he eventually learns to be happy with himself no matter how he looks. And that is up against Sanjay's Super Team, about a little Indian boy who is more interested in his superhero than he is about his father's religious beliefs, and he somehow gets involved with this imaginary, where these Indian gods come to life and they battle, and sort of he learns a lesson through it, and him and his father connect by the end. So I guess I'm first this time. Boundin' might be my least favorite of all of the shorts. I just kind of was bored by it, and it's got a good message, but I was kind of like, eh. And Sanjay's Super Team was a lot of fun. I love the story. I love the connection to another culture, and learning some new stuff. It was fun because it, again, both of these didn't, well, one was a musical where it didn't stop singing, and Sanjay's was sort of like this no dialogue, but a lot of heart. So I'm going with Sanjay's Super Team. Michelle, what are you up to?
Oh boy, I'm next. I liked Boundin'. Yeah, I hadn't seen Sanjay's Super Team until tonight, and I liked it, and I agree with everything that you say. I love that they're bringing other cultures. I know you're a superhero type of guy, and maybe it's just a personal preference. I just thought Boundin' was really cute. Out of those two, I like that one.
All right, Michael.
When it comes to these shorts, I don't know. I think I prefer them, excuse me, when there is no dialogue. And I really think that when I watched Boundin', I thought it was just they just threw it together. So I like Sanjay's Super Team.
All right. Sorry, Michelle. You're not winning out on this one so far, but you get to choose the next first one next. So so the next pairing is Lava, the story of a volcano who's out in the sea. And it's another one like Boundin' where it's a song throughout, and he's looking for love until he kind of falls back into the sea. But at the same time, another volcano down below has been hearing this love song and comes out to the top and doesn't find him. And then by the end, both share space and they live happily ever after, spewing lava and death. And it goes up against The Adventures of Andre and Wallaby, which is the original first short test thing that that Pixar did. Very basic, very simple, not much of a story, but it's basically the story of some weird looking aqua blue creature and a bee trying to sting him or something. So again, we're gonna have to make a little bit of a sliding scale here on these two. So, yeah. Michelle, what do you say?
Well, you know, again, if we look just at the story, for this one, I have to add the music too because I love the lava song. I have it on one of my playlists, and it might even be my running playlist. I just think it's really, really, really sweet, and it just melted my heart. So I do appreciate the technology. I think my mouth was on the floor when I went back and looked at The Adventures of Andre and Wallaby, just to see how really primitive it really, really looked primitive. It was 1984 when that one was made. So I appreciate the endeavor, but Lava is just heartwarming to me. I was really surprised, Chris, in the list that you sent us from Wikipedia that wasn't even nominated for an Academy Award, but it wins in my book.
Mm-hmm. Michael.
I think that the Lava short music and song works. I think that it just seemed to work well with the actual storytelling. And I think that it probably is one of the top five Pixar shorts, and I'm going to choose that as well.
Okay. Well, not like it means anything about my opinion, but I do respect The Adventures of Andre and Wally B in that it was early and they were trying to figure it out, and they learned about, you know, it's funny when you go back and you I watched this movie called the Pixar Story, which is basically how they came to be. I've got books. And it's interesting, they created this teardrop shape, which is the way they were able to make the squash and stretch work for them. But yeah, it's sort of just a basic, like, here's what we can do. Lava did that rare thing which tugs at your heartstrings and makes you emotional about a couple of rocks, which is what Pixar does so well, giving you emotions on inanimate objects. And the song was beautiful, and the look of it was beautiful, and just the storyline kind of gets you at the end there, and you're just like, oh, I want love too. You guys, that Lava, and I love the play on love Lava. It was
Lava you.
So we're there. So okay. So next pairing, Michael. We've got partly cloudy, which one was that one? That was the
clouds making the babies.
The clouds making the babies with the storks and stuff like that, and the one cloud makes all of the dangerous ones, like an alligator and a porcupine and stuff like that, and has that beautiful ending, cute ending. And then the other one is the last one on our list, which was out with Cars 3, which is called Lou, which is the story of a little bully named Lou who steals people's toys and stuff like that, and the toys actually come to life and teach him a good lesson about being a bully. So, Mike, which would you prefer to see, Partly Cloudy or Lou?
This is the toughest of the matches so far, in my opinion. I think that the idea of the fluffy clouds making the babies and everything, and the cute little puppies, and the dark cloud making the alligator and the porcupine and the shark, I think that was really, really clever. I do think that the storyline that is used in Lou was probably another level or two above the clever, on the clever scale. And the reason why I say that is that they really figured out the correct pace to teach the lesson that they taught, and how it was taught, and how they changed that boy's approach to everything. And I think it was a really well done story. The storytelling, the real cleverness that they used to turn the an assortment of toys and into a character or whatever. And I think that it really sold me. So I'm going to say Lou by a hair.
Mm-hmm. By a cloud. Or by a ball or whatever else was in the thing. Yeah, this one was tough for me too. I could have gone either way with this one, and just for the sake of making Michelle's life difficult, I'm just going to skew a little bit towards Partly Cloudy, because I loved the whole idea of the clouds, the way they looked, the way they were able to manipulate them and make them look like clouds and yet be anthropomorphic and sort of give them a look that was interesting. And it was a cute little ending, and, you know, the poor cloud starts to cry, and it's just a pouring rain. And when he gets angry, it's a thunderstorm. So I got a kick out of them. But so I'm going to basically defer to Michelle to pick this one.
All right. So I have to go with Chris. I don't know. It's interesting to me, as somebody who works in elementary schools, the story kind of left me kind of. The story of Lou kind of left me, I don't know, it just didn't hit home for me, and I'm not really sure why, but I love not only the animation in Partly Cloudy, but I also love the colors. I thought the colors really look like sunset, and just all the colors that you see in the clouds. So mm-hmm. I really liked it. Sorry, mm-hmm. Mike.
Okay.
He doesn't care.
I know. What is it that they say? He who laughs last laughs best. So who will be laughing last when we get to the end of our bracketology? I guess we'll have to wait and see. This ends part one of our round with Pixar Shorts. We'll be picking this up on the next episode of the Mickey Miles podcast. So for Chris Iliopoulos, For Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.